"Look at Rosalind's hair," said Waddy to her friends in school. "She has those white things in it. Nits. Yuck." The other children looked over at Rosalind, who started to cry. Her head had been itchy for a few days, and now there were little brown insects crawling in her hair. And little white things stuck to the hairs. She didn't like the other children pointing at her and laughing.
Welcome, friend, to Women of Hope. I'm Tammy, and I am starting to scratch my head already. Here's Carol.
Hi, and welcome. If you are the parent or caregiver of young children, you'll know what it's like to find those little insects crawling in your child's hair.
Oh.
Today, Dolly has come to tell us the story of Rosalind and the lice in her hair. Welcome, Dolly.
Thank you.
Do tell us what happened.
Their teacher noticed them talking in class and said, "What are you children doing there?" He came over to Rosalind's desk. She was crying and scratching her head. When he looked carefully, he could see the lice in her hair. "Ah," he said, "yes, you do have head lice. But don't worry, Rosalind, they're very common in school. Lots of children have them. Head lice are easy to treat. I want you to go to the clinic on your way home today and get the medicine to treat it, okay?" Rosalind nodded and rubbed her hands over her wet eyes. The other children were listening and snickering, but they stopped when the teacher said to them, "One of you gave the lice to Rosalind, and by now you probably all have them in your hair. When you go home, get your hair checked too for lice and nits. You can shave off your hair to get rid of all the lice and their little eggs, or you can use the medicine too." "Sir," asked Anwell, raising his hand, "what are lice anyway?" Their teacher returned to the front of the class and drew something on the board. It looked like a fat little beetle with very short legs. "Lice look like this, but they're very small. They don't have wings, so they can't fly. And their legs are so small that they can't jump like a flea. They can hardly even walk with these little legs, but they can hold on to your hair very well. The female louse makes a kind of glue that holds her eggs onto the hair. The eggs look pale brown until the baby lice hatch out about a week later, and then the empty shells of the eggs look white." The children started looking into each other's hair to see if they could see any pale brown or white eggs. Their teacher said, "Listen, after they hatch, lice bite your head 4 or 5 times every day to drink some blood. And their poop is dark red." Then the children all started making noises and pulling faces at the thought of the lice drinking blood and pooping in their hair. Anwell raised his hand again. "Please, sir," he said, "how do we get lice in our hair?" The teacher pointed to his drawing on the board. "Remember I said they can't jump? And they can hardly even walk? So they have to ride from one person's hair to another person's hair. With no blood to drink, they can only live for 1 or 2 days in a hat or in clothing or on your pillow. So the usual way they move is if someone else has lice and you put your head close to theirs. Now think about it. When do we put our hair close to someone else's?" he asked the class. Several children answered, "When we play a game and all hunch around close." "Sometimes we bump heads," said one. "When we carry our young brother or sister around," answered another. "When we hug someone," added a girl. "When we sleep together at night," said one boy. "When we're in school and work in pairs, we get close so we can hear each other." "Yes, you're all correct," said the teacher. "When your head touches someone else's, if they have lice, the lice can climb quickly over into your hair. Because they can live for a few days on a hat or a comb, don't share them with anyone else. And wash your hat and comb regularly.
Women of Hope today, we're talking about head lice. Dolly, please tell us what happened next in the classroom.
Sure, Tammy. One of the girls asked, "Do they make us sick, sir?" "No," answered the teacher. "Other types of lice on our body can make us very sick, but this type only stay on our heads and don't make us sick at all, just itchy." Janelle asked again, "What will they do at the clinic, sir?" The teacher answered, "They'll tell the boys to shave off their hair. That's easy and quick and cheap. No hair, no lice. But you girls will not want to shave off your hair, huh?" They laughed. "So the staff of the clinic will give you some special medicine to put on your hair that will poison the lice." The teacher continued to explain, "You put it on when your hair is dry. You must put it on all over your head and hair. But be careful not to get it into your eyes or on your face. If you use a medicated shampoo, you will need to put just a little water on your hair first, but use as little water as you can. Wait for 20 minutes, then wash your hair with soap or shampoo. If you have some conditioner, rub a little through your hair and then comb it with a fine-tooth comb. This will remove any lice that might still be there and will help the eggs, the nits, to slip off your hair more easily. You'll see them in the comb as they come out. And when you've finished, dry your hair in the sun or with a blow dryer if you have one. When your hair's dry, ask someone to check that all the lice and nits have gone. If you can still see any eggs, soak the hair in a solution of vinegar and water for 30 minutes. 1 cup of vinegar in 1 cup of water. Then use the fine-tooth comb again to remove the eggs. Keep your hair tied up, not loose, so it's harder for new lice to get into. If new ones come back, you'll need to do the treatment again in a week." Anwell spoke up, "But sir, if the lice can live for 1 or 2 days on hats and pillows, shouldn't we wash them as well? Otherwise, tonight we will get new lice in our hair again." The teacher nodded. "Yes, you're right. You must change the cover on your pillow tonight. Wash it in hot water and dry it in the hot sunshine. And you'll need to clean your combs and brushes and hats very, very well. And the other people in your family will have to check to see if they have got any lice from you. If they have, everyone in the family needs to get rid of their lice at the same time. And if you're sleeping at a friend's house later, try sleeping the opposite way around, your head down near his feet. That way, you won't get lice from him." The bell rang and school was finished for the day. It was Friday, so the teacher gave them their weekend homework. "Tonight, I want all of you to ask your parents to check your hair very carefully to see if you have lice or nits. Then if you have, I want all you boys to shave your head or treat it, and all you girls to wash your hair well with a special medicine from the clinic. Or if you have tea tree oil, you can use that instead to kill the lice. But you still have to comb your hair afterwards very carefully for a long time to get all the dead eggs out. Lice doesn't have to be a problem, because it's so easy to treat. Okay? So, see you all on Monday.
It is so good to be together on Women of Hope. Head lice are pesky little things, aren't they? And most of us will get them at some time.
Having head lice doesn't mean you're a dirty person. They love clean hair just as much as dirty hair. And you can't always tell whether you have them. Only about half of the people who have head lice feel itchy and scratch their head. If you think you or your child might have them, the easiest and most effective way to find them is to follow these steps once a week. First, comb hair conditioner into your child's hair. This is going to take away the tangles and make it difficult for the lice to grip the hair or run around. If you don't have conditioner, you can use oil. Next, wipe the conditioner or oil from the comb onto a paper towel or tissue and look at the tissue for any lice or eggs. Repeat the combing several times over every part of their head. And if they have been treated for lice recently and you only find those little white hatched eggs, you may not have to treat their hair again since the eggs could be from an old infestation. If you do find any lice or eggs, they need to be treated. They will not just go away.
We're sharing some good ideas together on how to get rid of head lice.
If you have a way of treating head lice that we haven't talked about today, you could write in and tell us because we need to know and we can share it with others. We will tell you later how you can contact us. It's always good to feel clean, isn't it? And if you've had lice and nits in your hair, it's good to know that they're gone and your hair feels clean again.
You know, there's a story in God's Word, the Bible, that I'd like to tell you today about some people who were very happy to be clean. And they were not dirty people, but they had a disease that other people were afraid of. Other people didn't want to get close to them because they thought that they might catch the disease. So they made these people stay right away from them. In fact, in some places, they made them call out, "Unclean, unclean," if they were walking anywhere near other people.
We often talk about Jesus on Women of Hope, don't we? We love to talk about Jesus because he came to earth to show us what God is like. Often in God's Word, the Bible, he is called the Son of God.
When Jesus lived on earth, he traveled a lot around the country where he lived, teaching and preaching and performing many miracles and healing those who were sick or tormented by evil spirits. Towards the end of his time here on earth, he had to go to the city of Jerusalem. He usually traveled with his special followers and other close friends. One day, Jesus was walking along the road with his followers through the country that is called Samaria. The Bible tells us that the Jewish people looked down on the Samaritan people. They did not want to mix with them and would even pass by on the other side of the road if they saw them coming. Let me tell you what happened that day from God's true word. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus went along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into the village, 10 men with leprosy came toward him. They stood at a distance and shouted, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." Jesus looked at them and he said, "Go, show yourself to the priests." And as they went on their way to the priest, they looked at their skin and found that they were healed. Their skin was clean. When one of them discovered that he was healed, he came back shouting praises to God. He bowed down at the feet of Jesus and he thanked him. This man was from the country of Samaria. And then Jesus asked, "Weren't there 10 men healed? Where are the other 9? Why was this foreigner the only one who came back to thank God?" And then Jesus told the man, "You may get up and go, because your faith has made you well." That's the end of the story from God's Word. That was a short story, wasn't it?
It was. Have you heard it before? It's a short story, but a very important one. It tells us a lot of things about God, about Jesus, and about people.
Where was Jesus going that day? That's right. He was going to Jerusalem, where many Jewish people lived and worshiped at their temple.
And who was with Jesus? His special followers and close friends. And do you remember the country they were passing by? That's right, Samaria. You may have heard before about people from Samaria. There was the Samaritan woman who Jesus talked to at the well, and the Samaritan who stopped to help the man who'd been beaten by robbers and left on the roadside. Even though the Jewish people looked down on Samaritan people, it seemed like some of them were very good people, doesn't it?
So what happened as Jesus was passing by? Yes, 10 men with leprosy came toward him and shouted to Jesus. They asked him to have pity on them. They must have heard of him because they knew who he was, and perhaps they had heard that he had even healed people.
Do you think the men would have been surprised at what Jesus called back to them? Do you remember what he said? He said, "Go and show yourselves to the priest." They must have wondered why. Imagine them perhaps saying to each other, "Why did Jesus just tell us to go to the priest? We have leprosy. The priest won't want us to come near." Maybe they discussed together whether they should go or not. Well, whatever happened, they decided to go. They did what Jesus told them to do, and they were healed.
Now, can you imagine what might have happened? Maybe as they started to walk toward the temple where the priest was, one of them noticed his hands. Imagine the surprise when he looked at them and he had no sores or white spots. And another one of them may have had fingers missing, and as he pulled his hands out from under his cloak to have a look, he discovered that all his fingers were there. Imagine how excited they would have been as they looked at each other and at themselves and discovered that they were clean. They were healed. Maybe they even ran the rest of the way to the priest.
But one man didn't, did he? As soon as he realized he was healed, he went, maybe he ran, back to Jesus. He wanted to say thank you to Jesus. Do you remember what it said in the story? He shouted praises to God, and then he bowed at Jesus' feet and thanked him.
And he was the man from Samaria, those people that others looked down on. He was the one who wanted to say thank you to Jesus and praise God for what he had done for him. So, what do we learn about Jesus from this story? He was not afraid to be near people who were sick and untouchable, was he? His healing was for all people. He had compassion on the people who were rejected by others. And he always had compassion on those who were poor and suffering. And what do we learn about God? He still has compassion on suffering people. He hears us when we cry out to him, and he answers our prayers. He loves us, and he is waiting for us to tell him what we need.
And what do we learn about the people? They needed to be obedient to Jesus and have faith and courage to go and show themselves to the priest. Do you think they would have been healed if they had not obeyed Jesus? I don't think so.
Friend, Jesus expects us to have faith in him too. As we learn what he wants us to do, we need to obey. Then we will experience God's blessing in our lives. And something we all need to remember, to say thank you to God for all the good things he provides for us. Let's do that now. Thank you, God, for sending your Son, Jesus, to show us what you are like. Thank you for hearing our cry and for answering our prayers. Help us to learn to have faith in you and to obey you. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
We have to go now, but we do look forward to next time. We would love to hear from you. You can write to us in care of this station or at TWR Women of Hope. The email address is TWR Women of Hope @twr.org. That's
TWR, Women of Hope, at TWR.org. Or if you've missed a program or you want to hear it again, visit our website, TWRWomenOfHope.org, or visit our Facebook page. We do hope you will be with us again. Have a great week, filled with God's blessings.